This is the Bruce Poinsett Show. This is the Bruce Poinsett Show. For the world's most dangerous infomercial, I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett. Along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio of the Portland Art Museum. This is the best of the Bruce Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett, and along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio at the Portland Art Museum. You can catch the full show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7. You can also catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett, plus exclusive bonus content on patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. Make sure to follow us on twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM, that's Numbers with a Z, or the Numbers Podcast Network on TheNumbersPodcast.com. Again, that's Numbers with a Z, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Bruce Poinsett Show. I've got a special guest with me in the building today, Mr. Wes Guy. How you doing, Wes?
Doing well. Can't complain, man. Sun's out. Giving good energy and good vibes. Happy to be here with you. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for coming in. It's interesting because like we have, you know, mutual connections specifically through We Out Here magazine, like them covering your band back in the day. I used to write for them around the same time. But yeah, we ended up kind of like connecting over at Central Catholic.
Yeah.
And shout to Melissa Lowry, who runs the BSU there. And, excuse me, invite me in to come speak. You're one of the people in the crowd. You're doing work with the students now as an alumni, which really, I think is really important.
Absolutely.
Just give a little context. So I do some work with Respond to Racism Lake Oswego in my hometown, kind of for, sounds like very similar reasons, just like being an alumni, seeing both like how Black students in particular, students of color, in general, are kind of like treated, honestly, dismissed, muzzled, violated at these schools, and you know, wanted just to do something about it.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's just like I think it's just a great opportunity to kind of just talk about, you know, shifting how we think about alumni engagement, because I'm being real, I think a lot of these schools, a lot of school districts, are like just missing out on a resource that's right there.
Right there.
So, but you just start off like, when did you go to Central Catholic?
I went to Central Catholic in 2011. So at this time, BSU had been launched for about 15 years or so at the school, started by a community leader, Scott Williams, who's also a Central Catholic alumni. So this is one of the first examples of me seeing someone come back, be involved in giving back to the community. And he was like definitely a early inspiration for me, like getting into education and kind of realizing I have a voice. So yeah, 2011.
Yeah. Well, did they have, like one of the things that struck me coming in to talk with the BSU was, you know, saying that we have like a 9% Black student population, which it's not, obviously it's not like a huge number, but yeah. I went to a high school where I don't think we had 9 Black people. So,
yeah,
you know, I guess it strikes me, but yeah, was it like that when you were there? Or like, also, can you just talk about kind of like what your experience was like going through it?
So yeah, we nearly doubled in size. So when I went there, it was about 3.5 to 4% African-American, mm-hmm. and now they're at about 9%. So things have doubled. Like I'm seeing our BSU go from when I was there, like maybe 30 kids to now like 60, 70. But my experience there was a pretty good experience. You know, I, for one, had opportunity to get exposed to a lot of different programs that kind of opened my eyes and my surroundings to try out more things. But it was difficult in certain ways socially for two reasons. For one, you did, you know, have your band of brothers that you stuck with, but for that was a great thing in terms of support and leaning on each other. But it was also kind of a negative stigma going around of such a large group of Black men sticking together, laughing loud, being ourselves, talking about our shows, our games, our music, dressing the way that we did, to certain points where I feel like we were singled out or discriminated against just based off of the cultural elements that we brought to the school and even beyond the school, like even just going up to Lloyd Center after school and being in a group of guys. I remember this guy was like, "You guys need to split up." And I'm just like, the hell we need to split up for? Like, I literally see a group of, you know, white body kids just as deep as us, but you're telling us we need to split up and take our backpacks off. So it was, you know, great to have that camaraderie, but then there were also elements that, you know, were, you know, had a negative impact based off of the public perception of large groups of black men or, you know, black men and women intertwined, like, you know, just rocking together in a large amount of numbers.
Yeah. I think about it in terms of, I went to like Oswego High School and I sort of, when you talk about like just some like the benefits of sexually being, whether it's in like private schools or, I mean, LO basically was a private school. And like, yeah, you have access to certain things, certain resources that definitely like, they are helpful. They,
absolutely.
You know, they look good on the college resume and all these different sort of like social capital things. But like I said, there's also that social stigma you get, that social, you know, in some cases, isolation.
Yeah.
And it also, I do think though, I know for me, like while I was writing and it's like my job now, but I'm curious as far as like how those experiences shape what you're doing now professionally. Because it feels like that's definitely like a theme of like these types of schools.
Yeah. So, I mean, originally academically, I was a communications major before I shifted to English and education, and then even adding SPED lens over that. But basically how that helped shape was just like I did student council freshman year. I just went for it. Some people kind of suggested like, hey, you might be a good candidate for that. For one, having people around to encourage you and seeing things in you to plant seeds to where you just might go for something. And I remember I got up there. Speech was all right, but the rap was fire. The rap was better. So I was like, I'm going to rock with this. I'm going to just put the speech in rap form. Got up there, rocked it. So I got more confidence in my skills as an MC and my writing as well. And then I did journalism. So there was access to a journalism class in multimedia where, you know, you do everything from recording to filming, taking pictures, writing the article. So you get the full wraparound. So being exposed to media and arts earlier on definitely shifted that. And we had a music production class. And this is like the first year they're rolling this out at the school. But I'm like, definitely signing up for that. Like this gives me an opportunity to make beats in school. Like, yeah, let me do that. So that's definitely shaped because I like to see it as I've pivoted lanes and had many different shifts, but like the adaptability, like the school definitely helped me kind of be a chameleon and blend in with my surroundings and also be able to pick up multiple hats and wear those different things. Because even now I'm still not just doing one thing. Like I have the background in English and writing and journalism. I also do the SPED work, and then I kind of wrap it all around with my love for music. So, I would say that's kind of what helped me extend my branches.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about just like having sort of like those models for you, even when you were in school, as far as like being, you know, encouraging, like showing you, I like be involved, be engaged, and support the students. I'm always curious with, you know, people who do kind of like do work with students, do work in the classroom. Cause I go back and forth, you know, obviously it's like, you see all this rhetoric as far as like Gen Z is going to save us and all this. And like, on one hand, you know, you see these kids, they are brilliant. They are, you know, I know they're more engaged than I was at that age.
Absolutely.
It's not close. But also, you see, it's like, here are the places where they need support. Here's places where we can add, like, our guidance. And, I guess, sort of along those lines, or like you talk about having someone there when you were in school, but like, has it just been like, have you been like involved like since you were in school, or was there like any like break or something where, I don't know, something happened or you just came back?
So honestly, I wasn't involved until I got hired this year for, not because I had a negative experience. I just didn't necessarily have reason to go back. My sister graduated actually from Central Catholic as well, a couple years after me. But I wasn't really going to go back until I felt like they were fully, you know, living the mission. And by that, I mean, it's great to have and recruit the next level, the next generation of great thinkers from our BIPOC communities. Mm. But to take a kid from North Portland or Southeast Portland, from low socioeconomic situations, and put them in a school that is predominantly white and Eurocentric culture, is kind of giving the kid disservice. I've seen kids either excel, lose identity and have that crisis, or totally not be able to jump in and assimilate and do their thing there. So I was like, I'm not really coming back unless I see actually people like me reflected in the staff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool to have the students, but if the staff is, you know, all white teachers and administration top down, and there's no connect for the people that you're bringing in and supposed to be serving, that was a problem for me. So that was kind of like why I didn't feel the need to go back. I had a couple of relationships with a few teachers, and those are the ones I kept connection with. But I was like, you know, half of them had phased out, and then, you know, they were just being replaced with other white body faculty until a mentor, and who's now my supervisor, stepped in, and she really started being about that mission, hiring black staff and other high level positions from the dean of students. We have a black dean of students at Central Catholic. My man David Shepherd, great guy, was doing great work in the Rosemary Anderson and alternative school sector, brought him in and brought in diversity, equity, inclusion workers such as David Blue and Melissa Lowry, and teachers, admin staff, business office. Like, I'm seeing it reflected all around. So when I came back for the first time in like close to 10 years, that struck me. It's like, wow, I wish I would have had these individuals around when I was here. I wish I could have saw myself reflected in the staff. So that was huge for me.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's like in my experience, I think thing that got me back to doing stuff with, like Oswego School District was just, it was teachers that, you know, I'd either had like relationships with or just knew of me as a student, like reaching out. Yeah. It wasn't like trying to say this as not salty as possible, but, yeah. You know, because I've had some very strained relationships with the superintendents and other like administration throughout the years.
Yeah.
And it's usually been like, okay, if there's some teachers, some who've, you know, even in these like last few years, except cycled out, been replaced by white people, not all who are with the mission of what they were doing, but, or, you know, a particularly resourceful student group, which I don't expect, because, you know, some of the stuff as far as like, even it might seem simple to like, you know, reach out or email or, you know, to connect with someone, but it's like, I went through journalism school where even that, where they taught you how to like structure that out. So yeah. I don't take that for granted, but it's usually like someone going out of their way to like bring someone in.
Oh, yeah.
And then it feels like even once they bring you in, you got to go through all these different hoops and obstacles.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, like, do you have any, there've been like obstacles with your engagement as far as like systemic like that?
You know, so my journey as an educator begins back at Park Rose High School. So before I started at Central, I was at Park Rose. And, you know, I felt like I kind of was set up to fail in a sense. I had, you know, these, you get an education, if you don't know, you get these observations a couple times of the year where some of them might just be pop-ups. They come into your classroom, they're writing notes. Sometimes they won't even tell you they're coming. They're not even staying for the whole lesson. They're taking a snapshot and then they kind of give the constructive criticism or critique, where I felt like, you know, that's not always an indicator of how well you're doing in the classroom. And then you're assigned an academic coach and on probation for the first like 2-3 years until you're in the system. So I originally had a academic coach who I felt like was rubbing me the wrong way. You know, I taught, you know, from a student-centered approach where I'm bringing in my students' cultures, their love for music, games, anime culture, whatever it is, whatever in I can get, I bring that in. But because it wasn't like structured in that whole Eurocentric traditional way, you do A, B, C, I was always getting these weird comments and critiques and low standings. And I kind of did a social experiment. I was like, I'm just going to pick up on all the stuff that she wants me to do one day when she comes in. I'm going to check the boxes and just do it. And I did. And I got the best review ever. But I discarded who I was as a teacher in the ways that, you know, I connect with my students. But, you know, from a top-down perspective, I was doing great. She was like, it's like everything clicked for you, Wes. Like, I'm finally happy to see these results. And that honestly pissed me off even more because I was like, man, like, so I guess I just got to play the game. So I was down and out. And then to make matters worse, I went for a leadership position within the school. It wasn't administrative or anything. I was going to be an activities coordinator, so in charge of student life, journalism, dances, all the stuff that is in my resume and that I'm good at. And sometimes in education, I feel like it is like a reverse ageism thing. So like they didn't feel like I was qualified and they gave it to this lady who did not even have really much experience in it just based off of how long she's been there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to indicate she was friends with the principal and stuff too. So white, middle-aged lady. So, I mean, she got something that I felt like I was qualified for. But, you know, I didn't take it personal, but I was just kind of hurt. And then they gave me something like a way lower position that they suggested that I felt like they were like, you know, this might suit you a little better. You know, there's a $100 stipend. I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. But, you know, respectfully decline. So I feel like there is certain hoops for sure you have to jump through in terms of, you know, kind of leaving yourself outside of the classroom, asserting yourself as someone else almost to fit the criteria of what they feel like indicates you're being a good teacher. But that's from such a Eurocentric model that is just the way they've been doing education from the day it's been done. So anything outside of the box and outside of the lines is almost frowned upon. So I felt like it was time for me to get up out of there. But I did not have a plan. And like you said, sometimes people come out and they seek you. And that's where I found out my homie Victor goes by Kovi. He's an artist in Portland. He's a Central alum as well. He went back to do a Black History Assembly where he rapped for the students. Principal, long story short, was looking for me. I had no idea unless he went there as an alumni to give back to Central. And he's told me, you know, get in contact. She's looking for you. She, based off of your position, your resume. And long story short, that's what kind of got me back to Central Catholic was that. But it came at the expense of jumping through hoops, feeling burnt out, feeling like I was going to leave education fully. And then, you know, lo and behold, the alignment of the situation just started working.
It's always wild to think about what it takes to get just to get people in these positions.
Yeah.
Who should be in these positions. And then, like I said, all the forces that are at play just to that, you know, phase people out and get a lot of people who, you know, are assets to these students just out of the education system because they don't conform to these very like rigid, like say Eurocentric practices.
Yeah.
That oftentimes, again, don't engage with the students either.
Like, no, they're such outdated principles, man.
I know. So when I was talking with the BSU at Central Catholic, one of the things you would point out was just like how they still have a lot of the same like outdated books.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You just talk about like some of the things, because I'm always, you know, I always like to do like the comparison thing.
Yeah.
With the like, what was it like when I was going to school versus what's changed? And like, I can go to LO and be like, hey, there actually is a BSU now. There actually are, you know, these celebrations, but also these students are telling me the same stories that I had, like not adjusted for time, like the same, same wild stories. So yeah, can you just talk about some of the things, like issues you've noticed or things that are like,
So for one, you know, the curriculum and the textbooks that are being used and taught are, you know, seldomly changing. You know, I have no reason to bag on William Shakespeare. There's some of his work that I find astounding. He's inspired people from Pac to Kendrick and other people. But I just feel like there are more voices that have not been brought to the forefront of literature where you can still teach the foundations, the thesis statement, the whole 10 of that. But these authors are silenced and we don't shed much light on them based off of them not fitting whatever standard it is to be in the canon. Because in English, they basically have what they call the canon, which is the standard for a great work of literature. But all of it is based off of old white men who died at least 200, 300 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if this is the standard for greatness, and we're not changing that, and it's not moving with the times, then technically it's just regurgitating the same thoughts, the same levels of work, no originality. And the students who bring that to the forefront, those are the ones who are not the hypothetical ideal student who's basically, for one, going to either conform and lose their voice because they want to get a good grade, or they're going to kind of go against the grain like myself, where I didn't get the highest grades, but I made sure I wrote about the people I wanted to write about, whether that was my senior thesis on Baldwin and Richard Wright. You know, I was suggested that I actually choose someone else. And kids are still actually being suggested that they write on someone else. But there has been some progression, though. Some certain teachers are making honest efforts to teach certain literature, certain books that are, you know, from voices of color, but it's still a lot of work to be done in terms of just curriculum, standards, how we're grading kids. Standardized testing is another big one where, you know, they base basically a student's success all off of one test and one way to basically recall their knowledge. Where I would like to see it opened up a lot more. I know in our world languages, there's opportunities to have oral exams if you're learning Spanish. Like, why can't we do that for English? Why can't we have a conversation for history? There's other ways that people encode information. So I had high hopes coming back from COVID that we were going to be moving forward and using tech and doing all these things. But a lot of people in education are just either stagnant or lazy. They don't want to switch it up. They had the opportunity to bring in some more resources. We had to get resourceful during COVID. But once we came back, it was just kind of like, nah, let's just return to what we've been doing before COVID. And they're just not engaging. I don't know why, you know? I don't know where the disconnect is. Maybe because school is not what we no longer knew it in the past to be. And we need to observe it from a different lens and bring in student voice and their opinion. So till we get the opinion from the people we're serving, we're going to be stuck in the same position.
Yeah. I mean, I think about just in doing my own like guest teaching work, especially like talking about like coming back to schools in person after the pandemic. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I didn't have some of that like t- kind of like old man, like all these students, they're on their phones. What do I do type thing? But also
same here.
I'm not solving that by being like, these students, they're on their phones. Like, actually it means you got to adjust. It means you got to adjust to the time, to the situation, to the people to actually make this stuff work.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, as far as like coming from the top down, no one's giving anyone anything for that. No one's helping anyone with that. It feels like there just isn't any care about that. There isn't, you know, it's easy to, you know, if you really need to divert the focus, you're like, oh, look at these, you know, look at these Republicans coming and storming the school board meeting, which is important in terms of like people are, you know, trying to terrorize the school system. But also when it comes to like doing the work to like serve and like actually, you know, take care of kids.
Yeah.
What's happening? We just talked about the phones, but like, I was curious, is there anything as far as like in getting back into the schools that's kind of like surprised you, just as, you know, bringing in more experienced eyes, I guess?
Yeah. How in control and how aware these students are. We often underestimate the power of the youth, the awareness, oh, they're not paying attention, they're always on their phone. But honestly, you know, that's how they receive news, information, trends, dance, whatever. So these kids are, they're leaders. They're the ones who are, I had a couple students at Central who are part of a program called Word is Bond Portland. Shout out to Lakiana and some of our young leaders, my man Jihad Hudson and a couple of his friends that are part of the group. They went down to Washington, D.C. during their spring break. Could be out partying, could be out hanging out. Nothing wrong with that, spring break. But they went down to Washington, D.C. to talk to Senator Wyden about diversifying the curriculum. And when they're going to do the march and the walkout that they're planning, he's going to be part of that. They got his permission. They're negotiating policy. They're looking at policy. These are things I was not concerned about at all as a kid. You know, like, I might have said, yeah, I want more diversity in the books, but that's probably as far as it went. So what surprises me is the steps that they're actually taking to develop plans of action and how to get things going. And the second thing that surprises me is just the conversations that these kids are having. They're able to negotiate, they're able to have better conflict resolution skills, because there was kind of a debate going on at Central in regards to like colorism. That's always kind of been a problem at the school. Like, how black is someone? Oh, you live in LO, you're biracial. If you were pulled over, you wouldn't have the same effects as me. So these are like real conversations they're having, but they're having it in like a respectful way, a real logical debate. And, you know, they're able to leave their feelings at the door and still have respect for each other and see each other's opinions and talk about complex conversations, whether it's with other BIPOC people or white body people. And that's something that I've been highly impressed with the youth that I've been working with. They're not afraid.
And we talk about just being able to have these like high level conversations and respectfully.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that really struck me. I went to Central State of Mind is like
the
event series. So I went to one of the, I was just sitting in on one of the workshops where it's like the seriousness of unserious debate, where, I mean, they're talking about like some of these just same like Twitter, you know, some silly stuff, some kind of more like colorism, you know, serious conversations, but like really breaking down again, just like the fact that you have these teenagers talking about the seriousness of unserious debate, which like someone who tries to like give people context for like what's actually important about Stephen A. Smith and all these kind of like people on TV.
Yeah.
Seeing students do that better than I can do it, you know?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, I love that. And like I said, like sometimes it can get, you know, when you're in front of the classroom, you're like, they're on their phones, you have that. But then it's also, like you said, the next moment, they'll also they'll show you something. They'll teach you something every time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just, that's why I think it's just so important when we talk about, again, the subject of engage, like the school districts actually engaging with these alums who are here, who can be those supports in ways that a lot of these teachers really can't be. A lot of these superintendents wish they would be, but
yeah.
are choosing not to be.
Choosing not to be.
And they say, you know, people say that like, we're serious about equity for our students. And yet, you know, I think about like, who's going to bring in perspectives that allow students to one, see themselves, but also like, we're not far enough removed from that experience to just be detached in how we engage. I think that's, again, essential.
Yeah.
But it's untapped. Yeah. I mean, is there anything else you would add as far as like how you think schools could better engage with alums? Like I asked this with the caveat that I know usually when I throw this out, the answer from like administration is always going to be, well, hey, we got to be careful. We got to, you know, and I obviously do your background checks and all that.
Yeah, obviously. Of course.
I don't think anyone's arguing that. I just want to bring up LO School District again. And Dr. Sheely, if you're watching, you know, we just had someone come in for career day and, you know, slap a middle schooler like that. Yeah, that really happened.
Oh, wow.
You know, and the SROs, they said,
is he a UFC fighter? Is that part of his career, or is that
just some random, like, not even like this wasn't like a parent or someone, just like some person who came in apparently to speak for career day at Lake Ridge Middle School. Yeah, starts yelling profanities at the students and slaps one of them and then walks out.
It's wild.
Huh. Yeah, but you know, just I bring that up because with the wacky stuff I deal with at LO, that's going to be their reasoning for like, well, this is why you can't be in the school. It's like,
yeah,
that's not how that works. Anyways.
Yeah. In terms of alumni engagement, I mean, you can't go in there with the fact that, you know, everyone's going to want to go back to the high school for one and give back. But that doesn't mean that we can't extend our branch and keep the connection. So for one, knowing, you know, keeping track of kind of where alumni goes post high school, whether that's the workforce, whether that's college, whether that's a culinary program, just kind of, you know, there should be a specific person in the records office, in my opinion, who keeps up with alumni engagement for each school. So that's, you know, making sure, you know, everyone has the class reunion type thing, but like, outside of that, just offering opportunities for alumni to still engage with their school if they choose to. Of course, there'll be a large amount of people who won't, but you'll be surprised at the large amount of people who will, mm-hmm. who did have seeds planted in them from teachers or administration or just friends there who actually want to give back or connect. So for one, it's just having a specific person there who can actually engage in alumni connection. And I think that's really would really be pivotal. I know that's what we did to get our first annual African-American alumni brunch that we did this year. There was basically a person that was in the office and the records in charge of connecting and reaching with different people from different classes. And I know that was pivotal for getting alumni engagement. And once you get your sheet ready, your spreadsheet, then maybe each year you can elect someone from each class to kind of be that point of person to kind of reach out to different people on the list. But for one, it's just, you know, getting started and reaching out. Sometimes it just stops right there because we play all these what ifs, you know, what if this happens, or maybe they don't want to be involved. But first step is just honestly extending that olive branch. This brunch, that was really, really great to see people from all walks of life, all levels, come to basically be around and surround the current Black students at Central Catholic this year. It was so powerful. But it just started with an idea and then some action behind it. And then delegating tasks. So
I feel that. Like you said, like, not everyone's going to want to come back for, you know, very understandable reasons. But there are people out there who, like, they do want to do this. There are people who are passionate about just different aspects of school life, you know, making sure that students who come behind them have what they need, have, you know, in a lot of cases, what we didn't have. And, yeah, the opportunity is there. So, yeah, Wes, thank you again for taking the time. Before we click off, you just tell people where they can find out more about you.
Yeah, so you can find more about me by following my Instagram, shiftingperspectives_BC. And that's on Instagram, or you can basically email me at shiftingperspectivesaba@gmail.com. That's my disability and behavioral consulting business. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Yeah, Wes Scott, thank you. Thank you again for taking the time. And yeah, I love what you all are trying to do over there at Central Catholic. I hope other school districts are taking note.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation.
This has been the Bruce Poinsett Show. Again, you can catch us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7, or you can catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett. If you want access to exclusive bonus coverage, you can go to patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. And make sure to follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM. That's numbers with a Z. Or on the Numbers Podcast Network on all podcasting platforms, or thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a C.